It's on the Shredded Podcast. Back out to Smart. Fakes the pass all the time. Three. Bang! Hits William Strange. Bobs it up for Robert Williams. Should he go? Taylor Brown. Tatum. Durant, the long reach. Tatum crossover, pull up jumper. It's good. 50 points for Jason Tatum.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Reddit podcast. Big day in the second day of free agency for the Celtics. To talk about it with me today is our mate, as he might say, Joe Titty, no scrotes McFly. Joe, how you doing today?
Yeah, good. My internet's feeling strong.
Unfortunately, we potentially have another person with us here, the newest member of the Celtics Reddit podcast. That is Jake Eisenberg. Jake, how you doing, man? Welcome to the team.
What up? Yeah, doing well. I'm already getting bullied by the rest of the team for my weak internet, apparently. So I'm going to have to work on that. Either, new internet or just get thicker skin. Not sure.
So, Jake, real quick, before we go into the big moves the Celtics made today, you're obviously Australian from your accent. Like, what brought you to the Celtics? How you become a Celtics fan?
Yeah, I am Australian, but I'm also half American. My dad is from Andover, Massachusetts. He made the move from San Fran, actually, to Sydney when he was 25. His mum said, "Don't do it. You're going to meet a girl, never come back." That's what happened. And so I've been a Celtics fan whole life. 08 was kind of like when I really started getting into it, but then the IT era was when it went from I'm a big fan to like now I'm a sicko and I care about the James Young draft picks, etc.
So you fit right in that case. Yeah, the Bill Simmons fist pump, baby. All right, so big move of the day, man. I think I did not see this one coming at all. I don't know if you guys did, but the Boston Celtics acquired Malcolm Brogdon from the Indiana Pacers for a first-round pick, the next Michael Jordan, Aaron Nesmith, Daniel Tice, and some of our end-of-the-bench guys, including the bench god himself, Malik Fitz.
Yeah.
So, Jake, I'll start it off with you, man. Did you expect this? How are you feeling generally about the trade?
I mean, I don't know how you could expect it. There's literally no reporting on it, basically. Brad Stevens moves in the shadows, we've learned. Kind of the opposite to Danny Ainge in that we hear rumors on rumors on rumors. just bang, Woj bomb. I mean, he's a fucking wizard, dude. I mean, like, not 14, 15 months ago, we were rooting for Tristan Thompson, Jabari Parker, and Semi Ojeleye in the playoffs. And now we got Brogdon coming off the bench, potentially. Like, come on.
Trade package-wise, like, do you think that's good value for Brogdon? Do you think it's an overpay? I do have a Reddit comment specifically I want to address to you because you are a Grant Williams enjoyer. So this is from user Brad Stevens. Wouldn't have loved this if it included Grant, but for what we gave up, it's a home run. Do you agree with that sentiment from our CEO, Brad Stevens?
Do you remember back in like uni or even high school when like the teacher asks a question that everyone knows the answer to, so no one answers? And it's just like, who's going to be the person to break the ice and say, 1 + 1 = 2, I know the answer, I'll be the dickhead. So, I feel like we all know the answer to that question, Spoons. All I can say is when I woke up and I...
Just spicy today.
I woke up, check the old Twitter, as is my custom, pretty early in the morning. And we're going through it and we're like, oh, shivers. We traded for Brogdon? Oh, I wonder who we gave up. And then I'm like, who do we give up? Oh, no one.
whoa.
I know Nesmith's dead to your heart, man, but like it wasn't happening.
No, I get it. Yeah.
And it's a shame because I still think he would have potentially been the, if he was good, he would have really been the fit, but.
He would have been really good, yeah.
If it was good, he would have been good. Yeah. So it was just like, I couldn't believe that we didn't give up anything. And I like that it's a 23 pick because I don't like giving up draft picks mm-hmm. with a long horizon because you just don't know what your team's going to look like then.
Yeah.
That's why I really don't like the pick swap with the Spurs. Like, we don't know what our team's going to be at that point, eh? But anyway, that's for another day. This deal's really good. I really like Brogdon. He sort of seems to be like the type Like, we're getting a Brad Stevens, Ime Udoka type of player. You know, what kind of girl are they likely to date all the time? And I, you know, I like their taste.
Yeah, but goes both ways, appears to be their taste. So I will say, to play devil's advocate, because I agree, Joe, I think this is a home run. I think this is a home run deal. But Adam Taylor of Celtics blog, very respected in sort of our universe, hates the trade, thinks Brogdon's injury history is just too much. And we, you know, giving up a pick is, you know, the replacement value of who you could get with that pick instead of Brogdon, maybe not as good of a player, but someone that you know will be there at the end of the season. So again, I don't really agree with that, but I mean, Jake, do you have any concerns with Brogdon's injury, injury concerns at all?
Yeah, I mean, you should have some injury concerns. That's why we got him for, I won't say free, considering how much Nesmith meant to you. I was a big Tice guy, so that hurt just a little bit as well. But I mean, he hasn't played more than what, like 60 games in 3 seasons? He's played more than 60 once in 4, yeah. So
yeah, like, one time he played 64, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a concern, but I think all you need to do, like, they've got a job on their hands, is training staff between Rob, Al, and now Brogdon, like, to manage these guys through the season to get them to where they need to be when come playoff time. So that's a concern I have for sure, but like, if he doesn't hit, he gets injured again, you still have your playoff rotation set from last year. Like, best case, he's fine, and all of a sudden you've got like a borderline all-star for your playoff rotation. Like, if he's healthy, he's giving you what, like 90% of what DeJounte Murray's giving you for a quarter of the price? Like, no brainer.
Less than the price.
Yeah, so I got some stats for you guys, Joe. I want to bounce off you. Brogdon has been like top 5 in drives per game for basically since he became a starter. Last year, he was 4th with 18 drives a game. He shot 33% on catch and shoot, but the year before, he was at 44.4. Year before that, 37%. So he does seem kind of like maybe Derek White with a jump shot. I have not watched a lot of Pacers, I will admit. I really only know him like the games that we play against them. But Joe, like, what's your thoughts on his fit? I saw some talk like maybe he'll be in the starting lineup.
Bless you.
Sorry, fellas. Yeah, maybe he'll be in the starting lineup.
Looks like the maybe spice comes off of the bench. My take still kind of working its way through his system there, Spoons.
I know, you're literally killing me with these takes, Joe. So where do you think Brogdon fits in on the team? That's what I'm trying to get out.
I remember he had a pretty good two-man game going with Sabonis. And I also remember Al Horford having a really good two-man game with Kyrie, just bringing him for threes. So I would look to see him use in combination with Al a lot. I honestly wonder whether the long-term future for this team is actually Grant starting over Al, and then Al and Malcolm Brogdon kind of anchoring the second unit, and potentially them both likely to play over other guys in crunch time.
Yeah, I saw that. I think it was Himmelsbach came out and said there's reports that the Celtics plan on sticking with the double bigs and Brogdon will come off the bench. Jake, do you think, I mean, with Derek White, Brogdon, Peyton Pritchard, I know that you mentioned in our Slack, you were like, oh, does this mean White's available? I mean, do you expect that? I personally think they're both probably big enough to play together, and maybe even Brogdon could play some three, but do you have any concern about sort of a logjam and burying Pritchard again like we did last year?
Yeah, I mean, when the trade happened, my head is just spinning, right? Because it comes out of nowhere. You haven't thought about the fit at all, whereas like some of the other guys I've been thinking about how Hurd is going to fit in, all these guys, and I haven't thought about Brogdon in the slightest. But I think White, you know, now you just, it gives you flexibility. If a trade pops up, including White, you can do that. But I don't think that's something that they're planning on doing. I think, yeah, Brogdon's big enough where you could probably run a Brogdon, Smart, White lineup. Like Brad Stevens has done plenty of three-guy lineups that include Isaiah Thomas, right? And so I wouldn't be too worried about that. He gives you so much lineup versatility But Pritchard, man, I mean, he makes 10, assuming we get Gallo. Yeah, his minutes are probably going to be down again. But again, he Pritchard is like nice little Brogdon insurance if there is any injury stuff throughout the year. I like that call on Grant starting, that kind of pushing Brogdon and Horford to the bench. That is such a ridiculous two-man group to bring off the bench for the season. But yeah, I mean, our best lineup or the lineup I liked the most was Brogdon, I mean, White, Smart, Jalen, Jason, and then Rob or Al. And to put Brogdon where White was just is going to open up so much space for the Jays to have like a 40% three-point shooter out there as opposed to a guy where they were just begging him to shoot in the playoffs. This is a complete game changer.
He's 6'5", too. That's the other thing is I feel like his positional and defensive versatility is underrated, you know? I think 6'5" is not quite a wing, but I don't know. Is he not? Can he defend? Can he defend up? Surely he can, you know? I just think, man, we just got – like we already didn't have holes, right, defensively. And now we've got one more plus defender to throw at an opposition. I feel like I wouldn't have minded an Otto Porter for the mid level, maybe more. But that's probably another chat.
Yeah, and actually, that's what I think we should move into now is what we did get with the mid level. And I'm with you, Joe. I'm not super high on this move, but I do see the thinking. User, we signed Danilo Gallinari for the full mid-level exception, 6.4 a year for 2 years, which is not ideal. And I think it's a player option on the second year, but you know, you're going for a title. Sometimes you got to spend a little money, and it's not my money. So Reddit comment here, Lightning Fast 31 says about the Gallinari signing, I like it. We need scoring and shooting off the bench, and he's a bucket. We are the best defense. We can hide him and cover his weaknesses. Joe, what are your thoughts just overall on the Gallinari signing?
It's a bit, you know, like better than nothing. You know, like we had to sign somebody with the sure. MLE, but like Porter, like I can't say I was like, oh, Otto Porter's the target. And now I'm kind of like in retrospect going, oh, I'd probably have rather Otto Porter. But he'll probably help us at some point in some game. I mean, you know, with Brogdon, we're kind of at a 9-man rotation already, right? So it's kind of a bonus, whatever he gives us. Hey, it's not that big of a deal. If it doesn't work out, it's not that big of a deal. It's going to be really movable.
Look, if you haven't seen the video online by the Italian Stallions, Danilo Gallinari. Vince tutta la partita. You have to go check it out. It's going to get you all in on the Danilo Gallinari signing. I believe that translates to Danilo Gallinari wins all the games. Like, if that's not enough, I don't know what to tell you. But look, the taxpayer mid-level exception just isn't a great asset. Otto Porter, I think he signed for more than the mid-level. Gary Harris, Kyle Anderson, Hartenstein, Malik Monk, Oladipo, all these guys signed for more than what we were able to offer them. So you talk about all these names, you're like, oh, this guy might take a discount to come to the Celtics, yada, yada, yada. But essentially, no one does. These fringe guys chase the extra $3 million on their like a 35% rate, like more than what we could offer them. Of course, they're going to do that. Double for Gary Harris. These guys are not going to come for less than that unless they're older, which is kind of what we got in Gallinari.
Can I put a theory? Maybe like part of our reticence about the signing is that he just kind of plays a little awkward. You know what I mean? Like he's sort of always on the verge of falling over when he's dribbling. He like has a really flat jump shot. He jumps forward pretty hard out on it. You know, he just doesn't look that smooth with it. And maybe we're kind of prejudiced against guys that don't look like real cool playing basketball. You know, he looks a bit fat. Like, he looks kind of like how I feel like I would look if I had to squeeze into an NBA uniform and plays probably quite similarly.
And actually, I think that Gallo used to be like a free throw merchant when in his prime. And I think that's a big part of it. He was almost like Pierce and he had the sort of like less graceful than Pierce, but he did have those like herky jerky moves and like stops and starts and all those bullshit pump fakes and get you in the air and jump into. He used to do all that shit. He's dipped a little bit athletically, so he can't get away with it as much. It doesn't lead to fouls anymore as much, so it just kind of looks ridiculous, like you were saying, Joe. But yeah, I mean, he's a fucking gunner from three, and that's, he's a gunner from three, and he's big. He's like 6'9", 6'10". So I'd be interested to see, maybe he might play a little five even at times against certain teams. And, you know, January, the Timberwolves, or maybe not, the Timberwolves are always my team of like, they suck and you need someone to score who's like, Tatum's taking a day off or something, but not the Timberwolves. We'll say the Pacers are in town. Aaron Nesmith and the boys are in town. Gallo can get you 25 on a night like that, right? And just kind of keep Tatum and Jaylen's minutes down that game. And I think that's really where his value comes in. I don't see him as a playoff contributor. I think the value, and actually I kind of got roasted on Twitter for this, Joe, so I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Like, I thought the whole reason we got to the finals was there was no one to attack. And if Gallo's playing 15 minutes a night, I have a feeling he'll get attacked every second he's on the floor.
Absolutely. That's our, that was our identity, right? That's like,
yeah,
you are going to have to beat somebody really, really good one-on-one. And now you don't have to. Jake Tysonberg seems like he might disagree.
I think
please,
you can get away with having one bad defender in your 9-man rotation. Like, Tyler Hero, Jordan Poole, you can, if you're surrounding them with elite defense, you can get away with 10 to 12 minutes. And that's all it is. Maybe like 10 minutes where he knocks down two threes, where Jaylen and Jason don't have to play 46 minutes for three rounds in a row. That's all. And especially in round one, when we're going to be the one seed anyway, like, and we're playing the Hawks or whoever it is, like, just give me some Gallo. Get some Gallo in there when we're playing, the Sixers round two.
I appreciate the confidence that we're definitely going to be the one seed. I think we got a pretty good shot at it, that's for sure. But you never know, I will say that. So, I don't know. Do you guys have any more thoughts about Gallo? I think it's a signing that makes sense, to your point, Jake. I mean, the taxpayer mid-level, lots of these guys are weighing like five of them, right? Because everybody can offer the same, all the contenders can offer the same amount of money. So we could have done worse, I think, is where I kind of come out from it.
Yeah, to Jake's point, yeah, I mean, you get away with it. Sure, you can get away with it, but you can't be what the Celtics were. You know, the whole point was there was almost nobody to get away with, you know, so it's a change. It's a slight change in identity. Which doesn't mean it won't be more effective in spots, but, if he's playing a significant role, in the playoffs, we aren't the same. We don't have the same identity, would probably be my point there. Which it may be an improvement, but it's a different thing.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So, you can always cut his minutes as the playoffs go on once the games get more high leverage, but We'll see. It'll be nice when he drops 30 randomly some game in December, you know, and Tatum's off off for 2 months to start the season as he always does. So before we wrap up here, fellas, we still have only 11 guys on the roster. So at the very least, we're going to have to go out and get, and I believe that includes Hauser. So we're going to have to go out and fill out the roster. So let me throw some remaining free agent names at you that maybe are gettable with the minimum, and like, just give me your thoughts on them. And I think
Should we go thumbs up, thumbs down?
It'd also be nice if you talked about them, so nobody wants to hear me talk
instant reaction.
And I'll just I'll read off 40 names in a row, boys. Let's go. all right. So the first guy we've been linked to him. What are we thinking on Thomas Bryant?
Let's go, okay, Thomas Bryant.
So if you're listening, because this is also if you're listening, this is also a podcast, actually mainly a podcast and not a YouTube show. We all went thumbs up there. Jake, what's your thoughts on Thomas Bryant?
Look, you know, this goes back to the move that broke first yesterday. I think that, you know, it really hurts now that Tice is gone. DeAndre Jordan to the Nuggets, that just is it emphasized even more now, you know. No, I'm just Just kidding. You guys don't know me well enough to know that I was joking. Yeah. So should have laughed.
Lead changer right there. Yeah, gotcha.
Sorry, man. Sorry. My bad.
I was like, is this guy from like 2011? What's going on?
Look, yeah, I love Thomas Bryant. I think it's a high upside kind of move. I really liked what he was doing before he did the ACL with Washington. You have Cornette, who I actually think can be pretty serviceable, do like a pretty good Tice impression. He's 7 foot tall. He does this thing where he just jumps even to contest a shot, even though he's like 8 feet away, which always makes me laugh. My girlfriend calls him Big Bird, and I can never get that out of my head now because it's really accurate. but yeah, or Montrezl Harrell. I don't know what's going on with him. Like, I know he got caught with like a pound or two of weed.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah. We are on Thomas Bryant. I'll get there, Jake.
Sorry. Thumbs up.
It's all good, man. I'm just messing around. All right, thumbs up. Joe, thoughts on Thomas Bryant?
Big man depth.
Yeah, agreed. Sure. He can shoot it a little bit. I'm pretty sure he is like us doing an impression of an NBA player on defense, though. So that does concern me a little bit. All right, you first, Joe, because Jake's in the penalty box because he jumped the gun here. Trez Harrell caught with 3 pounds of marijuana, but, you know, shit's basically legal in America. So what are your thoughts on Trez, Joe?
Yeah, I just don't like his vibe. I just don't like guy's vibe. Like, I feel like we want, you know, he just doesn't seem like a good cat to me, you know? So I just don't. That's what it comes down to. Pretty talented. Flipper used to kill it back when he was with Lou Williams. But maybe if he does, we don't really have that Lou Williams type player on our team, you know, maybe it wouldn't really work. I don't know.
Yeah. Am I still in the penalty box?
Jake, go ahead. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I apologize.
You're out now, man. You're bailed out.
Yeah. Look, for a minimum, like I would take the swing. I think high upside move again. Like if he's a dickhead and no one likes him, you can just cut him. So another dude, like one of the weaknesses of the Celtics, not that it was a weakness relative to the rest of the NBA, but you know, just a bit of bench scoring, adding a guy like that. Yeah. Don't hate it.
Yeah. My thoughts on Trez, I'm with you, Joe. I think his value is like 18 minutes a game and he runs 10 pick and rolls with some score off the bench. And yeah, we don't really have that. The upside is we know the team would always have weed on them, which is probably a good thing at this point in the NBA. But yeah, he's got like all the bad parts of Marcus Smart's personality with none of the good parts, right? So I'm out on Harrell. I'd rather have Thomas Bryant, who I think is kind of a flake as well. All right, some old heads will say here, Dwight Howard is still out there. Dwight Howard, yeah.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
All right. Okay. Yeah. We'll move on quickly. We'll move on quickly. What about Ed Davis?
It's a small thumbs up.
Yeah. Minor thumbs up. Yeah. Why, Joe?
Once again, it's big man depth. I think we're a veteran team now. I think we probably do want to favor older players over younger players, you know. I don't want to jump the gun here, but there's a couple other names that are similar to me. But is he done? Like, I should probably look up his stats. I just remember he was a lottery pick back in the day.
Yeah. He's pretty close to being done. But Jake, thoughts?
Yeah, I can't picture him actually doing anything on the basketball court recently, but I've always liked him, and everything I've read about him over the years has been that he's a legend. So that's probably going to be most of that. But this guy's role anyway is vibes. So bring him in.
All right, yeah, I wouldn't hate Ed Davis. I'm with you, Joe. I think he is basically on his way out of the NBA. He's like 33 now, so that
which is younger than us, right?
yes, not younger than Jake. Jake's a young fella compared to our old asses, but yeah. I think we got a couple of years on him, Joe. So has Paul Millsap retired? And if not, Paul Millsap, he's still out there.
I think he's cooked, eh? Like, yeah. I mean, what if they do sign him? But it's not about the money, right? It's about the opportunity cost, right, of who you don't sign with it.
He might get like an aura boost just by being around Al Horford, like from the Atlanta days. So who knows? That was all I was going to say.
the cocoon effect.
Yeah, if we're banking on aura boosts, I'm not sure it's worth a roster spot. So, I'm totally butchering his name. Gorgie Jang. He's Gorgie. Yes, thank you. He's 32. I think he came into the league late. He's not been around for that long, but you know, he's showed some flashes at times. I think he was okay for Atlanta last year, but he's still hanging out there. Jake, I'll go to you first this time.
Yeah, he was on my list. I feel like I can hear Joe looking up his stats right now, so he's got the head start on me. But yeah, I feel like he's big and can shoot a little bit. Again, 32, 6'10". Yeah, like, again, big man depth. I can't picture any, like, athletic stories that I've read about him being awesome, but I can't read any the other way, so I'm not sure about his aura and vibes right now.
Do you reckon? Okay, maybe we should just let's be honest. Do you think we could pick Gorgie Jang out of a police lineup, like of other 16 guys? You know,
probably not.
Like, so I think the strength of our opinions, you know, should be weighted accordingly.
Fair. I mean, there's a reason he's still unsigned as well, right? He's probably not in the playoff rotation unless something has gone horribly wrong. Alrighty, so let me know if there's any guys you want to throw out there. Moses Brown is a free agent. Luka Garza from Iowa is a free agent.
Is Jeff Green a free agent?
I believe Jeff Green is still a free agent. So
could use some wing depth. He's no worse than he was 5 years ago, man. Like, he's the same dodo.
He has played a little center for the Nets, too. One named Bismack Biyombo is still out there. My guess is he'll probably end up back with Phoenix. But Bismack showed he can at least eat some minutes up in the playoffs this year. So any of those names do anything for you, Jake?
Yeah, not really. Jeff Green, how can you not? But, Ben McLemore is probably my number one wing depth guy that is still out there, I believe. I think Jeremy Lamb's a free agent. He used to be able to score.
Are we allowed to talk about, like, you know, TPE targets? Or are we just assuming that that's too rich?
Here's my thoughts on that, Joe. If somebody's not making a lot of money, I think it's probably reasonable to expect we might go after him. But there's no way in hell, you know, some of these guys that we were banking on making 17, 18 million, we're not going to do that. But if there's someone making like 3 or 4 that you're aware of, like, I know PJ Washington's only making like 6 or 7. Maybe that's a target I would love. But I think with the Miles Bridges news. That's probably not going to happen. But yeah, Joe, is there anybody on your TPE list that might be available?
I still like Duncan Robinson. I know that, like, he's not a highly regarded defender. I know he's making – I don't even actually know if he does squeeze under our TPE. I should probably check that.
No, he does.
He does. He does still. Yep. He's a 17. Yeah. If Duncan Robinson's available for free – I would be interested personally. I think he gives it, guys who move off the ball like that just give your team a dimension that the Celtics really have lacked a lot of the time, like a pure off ball flamethrower. But maybe that's Hauser, you know. I'd be pretty keen on that if that was available. Not my money, right? Who else we got? No, I think I'll flick it over to you boys.
Look, Wick has proven to us at least a little bit that he's not a broke boy. And I'm not sure if us bullying him online has worked, but he's not Steve Ballmer yet. Like, to pull in another $15 to $17 million player is gonna, I don't think Wick's about that. But like Rudy Gay, now that Utah appears to be tearing it down, I think he's got 6.4 for next year after signing that 2-year deal last year, which is someone that I know Celtics Twitter really wanted last year. So maybe we can throw a second for Rudy Gay. Ken Birch for the Raptors. I think he's still on the Raptors. Those guys are making like, you know, under seven. Yeah, that would, I mean, I don't know, they're the Nets getting rid of Royce O'Neal.
Can I just make one quick little point though? And that's that often the issue that you have when you're trying to like say a big name comes up as a trade target, the issue is always how do we match the salary without giving up the depth, right? And one thing this TPE gives us, it gives us the right to take on payroll. And payroll with less, because the other issue that you have is matching salaries without having to give the other team like 15 guys and they don't have the roster spots to take him back. So when you've got two guys, say you had Robinson and Brogdon on the team, right? That's 39 million, okay? That's basically anybody you can trade for, okay? Imagine we had Robinson and Brogdon, that didn't work out for whatever reason. We can do that and we can give up, like I think we could give up our 24, we could give up our 25 swap, we could give up a 26, we could... couldn't give up the 27, I don't think, because that's a pick swap year, though. But you know what I mean? Like, you can actually put together a package for a guy who's making a max salary with the draft picks without giving up depth, and the opportunity to lock in that amount of salary goes away. So I don't actually expect they'll do it, but that's the case for me for doing that.
Yeah, it's sound thinking as far as preserving the TPE as an asset. Essentially, right. You roll it over with someone's salary. Right. That might be a hard sell to Wick, but man, if we just took Duncan Robinson and tossed them Miami a couple seconds for their troubles or something, that would be a loaded 11-man rotation. I'm not the hugest Robinson guy, but even though he had a down shooting year, he was still flirting with 40% from three on high volume. So that's a guy that can absolutely contribute, even if he's overpaid. And yeah, I agree with the logic, Joe. That preserves the salary slot for future trades as well.
It's hard for us to know who's going to fall out of the tree when this Kevin Durant thing goes down, right? And someone's going to need somebody to take some salary for them, and that might just be us.
Joe, it's interesting you say that. One guy who kind of fits the bill here, I think Seth Curry is on 8 or 9 million. So I wonder if that might be a guy they'd be willing to dip even deeper into the tax for. And you could even kick them back. I mean, we really don't have any players right now that we'd be willing to include as just kind of cost savings measure. But, you know, even an empty roster slot costs you like $1.5 million a year. So if you're looking at the difference between that and Seth Curry... That is not a lot. Yeah. So,
yeah. I think it's like $3 for every million, though, every dollar at this point for Wick. And so he's going to be like, yeah, it's only 7, but it's actually 20.
Have we triggered that repeater thing yet? Because we were under the tax last year, right? So we're just dollar for dollar right now? Or is it, I mean, I don't know it well enough, but.
I was just listening to something today, but I think I...
yeah.
so how it works is basically there's bands that are, it's like dollar for dollar, then 1.5x, then 2x. And then when you trigger the repeater, I believe it like multiplies the bands.
Mm.
So it'd be 2 and then, you know, 2.5 or 3 and then 4 or whatever. So that's my understanding. Take that with a grain of salt. We'll have to go back and listen to the episode we did last summer where we went through this stuff and I had actually researched it before getting on, unlike tonight. So a couple of old friends still out there, Rondo, Avery Bradley, my worst enemy, Tristan Thompson, still out there, Hassan Whiteside still kicking around. I don't know. He used to be a guy Celtics fans loved. Were either of you big Hassan Whiteside guys like 4 years ago?
Never, nah, man. Never.
Nah.
God, no. Like Drummond as well. Like that was another one that Celtics, like,
fans couldn't
stop talking about. And we were proven so right. Like he went from making 20 million to 3 so fast and for multiple years now.
Yeah, he was like an all-star and then a minimum guy in like 6 months, basically. All right, fellas. Well, is there any other names you want to bounce off us? Anything else you want to, any takeaways from the day overall? Joe, overall, just in general, are you happy with what we did in day two here?
We're set to rip up the league. We really are, man. I know there's other good teams out there, but like top to bottom. We also have, actually, there is one other thing I want to bring up. You know what the most underrated like attribute for an NBA player is? It's emotional stability. because like we're seeing what's happening with the Nets right now. We just get two fundamentally unstable characters and it just wrecks the team. And I feel like without knowing these guys personally, it seems like we're loading up on emotionally stable players with a Marcus Smart or someone in there to just, you do need a little bit of an engine, you know? Yeah. But in general, I don't look at anyone on the Celtics and think, gee, that guy's like a risk of really throwing things off or not accepting his role. I, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think Brogdon, I think one of the beauties of him is I don't think he's threatened by, he doesn't have to be a starter, I don't sense. You know, I sense like we've got a natural kind of hierarchy in the team, and that's a really healthy thing. So I like our emotional stability. I don't know how you quantify that.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of we're quite low in emotional beta right now, I feel.
Yeah, and I think Tatum and Brown are very stable stars, right? Like they never complain. You never hear them bickering to the media. So,
except Jake, on the court.
Any thoughts? But all NBA players bitch on the court. Tatum just takes it to the next level. But Jake, any thoughts on what Joe just said or overall takeaways from day two?
I love that point. Bringing in Brogdon, that's I think a very underrated part of him is that. He is emotionally stable. We have three vice presidents of the Players Association now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So
yep.
Any labor disputes, I can imagine them all being any results favoring the Celtics. An underrated thing is that him and Jaylen Brown are pretty tight, I believe. Like I remember Jaylen drove, 15 hours to Atlanta to protest with Malcolm Brogdon. So one, Brogdon being a social justice advocate is just super cool and awesome. But the fact that he's tight with Jaylen Brown cannot be underestimated when Jaylen's going to be a free agent soon, bringing in someone that he's super close with whose contract extends past Jaylen. That's just, Brad Stevens, man, he's ticking a lot of boxes here. And I've been long comparing the Celtics to the Warriors as far as, Jaylen and Jason and Marcus is kind of Steph, Clay, Draymond, Light. And we saw that kind of come to fruition now. And that stability of stars, front office, coaching, and then bringing in players that are veteran, I love that emotionally stable label we've kind of used there, because man, how many super teams have we seen come and go in the last 3, 4, 5 years now while these guys have all remained?
Yeah, absolutely. And I meant to do the math, but Kyrie and KD played 44 games together in the last 3 years. I bet you the Jays have played almost that many playoff games in the last 3 years together.
Easily.
So that's going to do it for this one, folks. Joe, thanks as always for joining us. Jake, excellent rookie debut. We really appreciate it. Like I said, we're very, very happy to have you on the team, man. I know we'll be hearing more from you as the offseason progresses. So that's going to do it. Wayne Spoonie, Joe, Jake, we're out.